Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, we still have a ton to get to in the mailbag.
Yeah, no, people are excited. Yeah, I'm excited too.
Same. So we'll go ahead and dive right in. First question here, and it's an update because I did lose the bet on Twitter. Somebody's asking, when will we see Anthony wearing Rondo's jersey as he said he would if the Lakers wins the championship? It's on its way. It's been ordered. We just gotta get it in here. I never said I would wear it. I will. Like, you know, I'll take a picture with it. It'll be my new avatar or something. But what I said, I was gonna hang it up in my office, and I've already found the piece of wall that I'm gonna hang it up
in. So wow, you can have a Rondo jersey up in your office.
Yeah.
2020 is crazy, man.
It's the perfect thing to have happen in 2020. Oh man. All right. So let's dive into the actual questions here. Lil Norbit, y'all, writes, in 2010, I thought, okay, Kobe will get 6 and 7 soon. I was 15. This time around, I thought, do whatever you can to enjoy this moment. It's fleeting. Instead of thinking about another dynasty, I thought of people like my late uncle who got me the Carl Jr. bobbleheads in 03, my stepdad becoming dad and part of the three-peat. NBA Live 2001 and how the Lakers have been such a huge positive aspect of my life. Even over the last few years, this pod helped me get through college, articulated what Kobe meant to his fans, and helped get my mind off this pandemic and the struggles it has brought me personally. This is really cool, man.
That's beautiful. That is really, yeah.
Yeah, he goes on, many of us related to the podcast you did after finishing off Denver. We all have a story like that in our way. Thank you, Anthony, Pete, Harrison, and anyone in the with the SSNR and LFR pods too. Man.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that comment. It's very cool.
I'm going to go ahead and stop the show now. And
I know. Like staying in the moment, what he's talking about you know, rather than being like, oh, Kobe's going to get 6 and 7 and just enjoying the moment, thinking back on people that have that are either gone or have impacted your life, the relationships that we have with family members. Just think about how many of your conversations with your dad or your uncle or different members of your family revolve around sports. Mm-hmm. And that's just a way to stay in touch, a way to stay close with people. It's one of the many ways in which this game and the Lakers and the Lakers brand is beautiful, is it ties so many different people from all over the world or within the same family, right? And so that's just the Lakers' ability to do that is really remarkable. It's why we are the brand that we are. And he articulated that just beautifully.
Yeah, I think about, you know, the Dodgers are starting in another World Series here tonight. And my grandpa passed away back in March. And he and I never got to, you know, he loved the Dodgers. When I ran Dodgers Nation, like he was, you know, super duper proud and really loved talking Dodgers with me. He liked the Lakers, but his team, he actually
that was his squad.
He went to UCLA at the same time Jackie Robinson did. You know, and you know, was just super into that. And I think about how fortunate, you know, my dad is more of a Lakers fan, and my dad and I have now been able to talk about 9 championships. No, six. That like I was actually no. So we have
do you remember 88? Yeah, it'd be six.
So like so for my dad and I, you know, I was pretty young for the Showtime era, but for my dad and I, we've now been able to talk about 6 championships. Mm-hmm. And everyone is a little bit, you know, is a little unique in its own way. And I just think back on how many people are not that kind of fortunate with whatever team they root for. I'm a Vikings fan. Like the thing that I get together and talk about the Vikings with my Viking fans down the street is how great they are at kicking us square in the nuts. Like, it's just, you know,
that misery loves company. Yeah.
Right. When the Lakers won this championship, we got to harken back to those good old days when the Lakers were this kind of good. And this was the expectation. Yeah. And for a while that went away. And now to see that it's back, at least for the foreseeable future, that's pretty damn special.
props to the leadership of this team to for getting us to this place, man. This feels right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, props to your bosses.
That's right. I know. Isn't that great when I can like kiss my boss's asses and totally feel like morally fine with doing it because I actually believe it to be true. So yes, I am taking every opportunity to right now. Rob Pelinka, you fucking rocked this year. Jeannie, you are the best. You've got this grand vision that people don't always give you credit for. Yes, it works out very well for me because it is absolutely true.
Speaking of the boss, the job that your boss has to do, that's what the next question is. I don't know what to say. Like, yeah, they did a fantastic job. They are not my boss. David, you've done a fantastic job. Way to go. next question here comes from, it's literally butthurt trademarked. Hi, Anthony P. Congratulations on winning number 17. I've been listening to this podcast since Byron Scott was roaming the sideline with crossed arms. I was wondering if you could talk about potential free agents you'd like to see in the Lakers pursue this offseason, depending on who opts out, what we probably don't need. Pete, you can't get into specific names, but I'm kind of curious just in terms of like positionally speaking, where upgrades would, where you'd want to start with the guys like that you'd most like to see back, you know, opt back in. That might be kind of delicate for you,
yeah,
too, but at least the upgrade aspect of this.
Yeah, so I try to reverse engineer from in our biggest playoff series, what were the weaknesses and the strengths of what this team was? Who were they really? Because that's when you learn that about the team. I would love to add some shooting to this squad. If we had one guy that was like the ball gets rotated to him on one of the freaking 50 times that LeBron or AD collapses the defense for whatever reason, and someone's open for a jumper, that ball gets rotated to that dude, I want to feel like, oh, that's money. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of guys in the league like that. We don't have one of those shooters. And so that is, I think, would a good shooter, especially if he could come off screens, although I might be getting greedy here, would skyrocket the offense. That said, the personality of this team of two superstars and playing defense, mm-hmm. that was the other thing we learned. That's why we won. Like, it's nice to think of the things we didn't have, but like we were a kick-ass team because our weakest link on defense was still really good. And whoever comes in, I think, is a role player, unless they're just such a, and even then, like I could talk myself into just a incredible shooter and he's like, hey, he competes on defense. Like mm-hmm. you might be able to talk me into that type of guy. But as a general rule, if you don't defend, like you might be a good player, but if you can't play defense in the Western Conference Finals, in the finals, on those switches, on those, like everything's on the line. I'm not talking about the regular season. I'm talking about, can you be there for those plays in those moments? If you can't on the defensive end, I'm not terribly interested. So that's my focus this offseason.
Yeah, like I said yesterday, I haven't thought too much about this quite yet. But one thing I'm really curious about is if that identity was lightning in a bottle, brought about somewhat from the unique situation that they won the championship in, right? Where some shooters were made better because of the sight lines, the consistency of shooting in the same gym for the entirety of the bubble and the run that went on there. Whether or not the chemistry was something that, you know, was a bigger factor given that entire ordeal. And if in a more traditional playoff run, if it might mean less and should it be prioritized, the whole chemistry aspect of it. What I would probably say is if those things were so heavily impacted by situation, is it worth trying to catch that lightning in that bottle all over again? You know, and that to me is when I'm just thinking of generally the questions facing the Lakers this year, that's kind of what I'm most fascinated by is there were basketball reasons why this team was very good, but the chemistry of it would like the way that they apparently they were calling, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Neutron from the bench. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just the team really seemed to love playing together. And part of me just says, you know what, screw it. Run as much back of this as you possibly can. And, you know, maybe add with that, because they have their mid-level, add with their mid-level and try to run as much back of this as you possibly can and see if this is a championship core, even in a more traditional season. So that's probably where I'm at. I haven't really gotten to the specific names and stuff where I would want them to upgrade at the with the mid-level. I don't know yet.
So yeah, and the whole idea of running it back, I'm sure we'll talk about this more, is that has to be balanced out by hunger, right? Mm-hmm. Is that if we run it back, is everybody going to take it as seriously as they did this year, right? Because it's like, again, this championship was so satisfying. Mm-hmm. Ooh, this one's satisfying. We're not full, but we have had a very good meal. And we are not, like, I'm hungry to do it again, for sure. Yeah. You got to measure to what degree everyone is, So that's part of the balance, is that just because we run it back with the same guys, everyone's going to have to do that again. And I believe in the guys that we had, to the point where I think the vast majority of them will have that, but that is something that we've got to keep in mind, because that always comes into play.
Yeah. I think, the whole hunger thing, it's going to be interesting too, because of their success this last year, they aren't going to look at the regular season in the same way that they looked at it last year. They probably aren't going to finish with the best record in the West again. I wouldn't bet on that. And what you risk there is flipping that switch, man. Sometimes it doesn't flip on, and so yeah, I at some point soon, I promise, maybe next week I'll really start digging into names and stuff like that. But for right now, it's just given how much I enjoyed this team, I'm down to just run it back and see what happens again next year. But that might, my opinion on that might change by the time we start hearing more about who opted in, who opted out. I think most of everybody who have opt out clauses on the Lakers, the advice that I would probably give them is to opt out and try to cash in on winning a championship. Like, mm-hmm. That's the smart thing to do as a free agent. And from there, you got to figure out what you can try to squeeze under your cap, whose bird rights you can utilize to go over it, all of that good stuff. But just, right now I still find myself, fuck it. Let's just do this whole thing again. It's kind of like when you throw a good party and the buzz is still in the back of your head, you start asking people, hey, what are you guys doing next week? Let's do this again. Mm-hmm. And then you do that. You try to pull off that same party and it's never going to be quite the same. You might have a different kind of party and it's a different kind of fun, but it's just that one super special party is probably not going to happen again. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we will keep on answering your questions. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your first order, your second order, your third order, and however many orders you or your friends that you tell about this great product get to benefit from. They have great flavors, everything from caramel brownie. My personal favorite name is Cherry Barcia. The cookies and cream one is fantastic. And then they have the regular, salted caramel is my original favorite flavor. And it's great no matter what you might be looking for. Are you looking to supplement a meal while you're trying to cut weight? Are you looking to have a little bit of extra protein to add to a meal if you're trying to gain weight? Are you trying to maintain weight by, just having a nice healthy snack? It's going to be great for you. It's going to have you covered. So head on over again to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, so the next question here comes from Don for Leon. That's a pretty good dog name. That's a like dog for Leon. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I would maybe change Don to dog, but that's a good one though. I listened to the Dudley interview with Simmons, and Duds was great. It's the part after the interview that got my attention, because Bill and Ryan spent an hour rehashing how trash the Lakers were the last few years. And I'm not mad at them, because the entire time I know there are a couple of Celtics fans coping with the fact that the team they hate the most just won the championships.
Uh-huh.
It literally was a therapeutic episode to help them cope. It was hilarious. I'm wondering, do you do that? Do you ever like listen to the opposite teams, you know, the hate listen thing? I'll have some fun with it, because this is one of my favorite things that Twitter has produced, is they'll just like find a couple sound bites that I'll uh-huh. listen to a couple times over, but I can't do a whole pod of it.
Yeah, no, I do it after the fact. Those are for, so people whose opinions I don't care about whatsoever, those sound bites are only good to dunk on them when yeah. the time comes, right? Like, so there is a Simmons, like, so Pick Up Hoop is a great follow on Twitter. He tweeted that this video, and it was of the Low Post, and the caption was Bill Simmons on the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And I replied, you couldn't think of a group of another five words in the English language that would make me less interested in listening. Like, I want to listen to that guy talk about the Lakers.
Yeah.
And then this appears magically months later back in my time. I retweeted it at the time, right? Like, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, not at the time, but you know, people, yeah, we had a conversation about it. I had forgotten about it. And so, yeah, all these months later, we win the title. And boy, do I want to hear what Bill Simmons had to say about the Lakers back in November, when I had no interest at all at the time, because it was like, yeah, I know this was some dumbassery that, you know, was going to be way off. And it certainly was. So, yes, all of a sudden, I was very interested in hearing what he had to say when the end results, I knew how the story ended. So, yeah, that is the degree of my hate listening.
Yeah, my hate listening is usually after the Lakers just won, or after the team I root for just won. And it's usually the team that just beat, they just beat, right? Like the way Houston handled losing, and in the way that Houston, there was the one SB Nation Houston pod that was like my favorite part about it was they were talking about Alex Caruso, and the guy was like, how many points did he have? And you can actually kind of like hear him find uh-huh. how many. It's like 16 points. You're 16 uh-huh. points out.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. I love listening to that, but I'll just, you know, that usually pops up on Twitter. And that's the extent of like the hate listening I do.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Simmons and Russillo, cause I never heard the sound bites from this specific pod. Apparently they waited until after Jared Dudley was done talking to go on a full on rant. And I'm uh-huh. sorry, man, that's cowardice.
Yeah, of
like
course.
That's all that is
it's all like, part of the package. It's
yeah. Like if you have something to say, that, cause look, some of the criticisms were valid at the time, you know, mm-hmm. I was thinking about this today, and you know, you can't get annoyed at Lakers fans for celebrating how far the team has come over the last couple of years. And then also tell them that every move was shit, right? Because if every move was shit, then that means that the Lakers came super far over the last couple of years to get where they are right now, which means we would be celebrating how far the Lakers have come over the last two or three years. Can't have it both ways there.
A lot of things have been exposed, right? Just in that, oh, there's no logical consistency. Like the only way you could have all of the opinions that you have is if the conclusion always has to be, haha, Lakers suck.
Yeah.
Right. And so watching them back themselves into these corners of like, oh, well, if this is true and the Lakers won the title, then that must be true, huh? That thing that we were saying was completely wrong the all season. Yeah. The guards, like their guard. One dude said like Lakers don't have a guard better than Carson Edwards. I'm like, really? Like, do you watch basketball? Wouldn't I mean, Carson Edwards is a rookie.
Is he a quarterback?
he's a rookie who from Purdue who can score the hell out of the ball, but it speaks to the there's an arrogance of how confident they are in their opinions versus like how much they actually know about the sport. In that, like, can Carson Edwards get you some buckets? Yeah. In a high level Western Conference Finals or playoff game, is he going to be able to defend the way that Alex Crusoe or KCP or like, it's an insult to the guys who have established careers to say this rookie, this second round rookie is going to come in and he's already better than every guard that you guys have.
Right.
Right. And then all of a sudden we go through a gauntlet of guards in the playoffs. It's Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Jamal Murray. And then we get to the finals and we go up against that wing in Jimmy Butler. But we went through some of the and bad even Tyler boys.
Hero, by the way, who was one of the stories of the bubble, was was how far he had evidently come, you know.
And then we lock him up in the finals. Where'd that go?
You know.
And so this whole idea of like, oh, the Lakers guards suck. You know, if they suck, you got to be given a lot of credit somewhere else. And they defended their asses off, man. They were part of what we were able to do this year. So yeah, that's, I delight in it, in that just like, y'all are so arrogant and you don't even pay attention to the games. That's really what my righteous indignation comes down to, is just like, is this dude even watching the games? Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I've always said, there are people out there who have biases. There are anti-Laker biases. I have my pro-Laker biases. We have biases about the way that we think the sport of basketball should be played. And I think it's just, the conversation is a lot more productive when we throw all that stuff on the table. It's part of the conversation. It's part of what we acknowledge. And if the time comes where I have to get over those biases to acknowledge, you know, that Jason Tatum sounds like, looks like to be a very good player, and that's what I got to do there, you know. But you know, I haven't seen very much of the getting over of the Lakers anti-Lakers biases to acknowledge what they did in this playoff run.
It feels so good. Let's just soak in it for a moment.
Exactly. We have one more break, right? So let's do this over the course of the break, and then come back and answer the last couple of questions here. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you'll find a family business that has served auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com for shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clips delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Man, it's I overestimated how many questions we got, and I'm blown away by the number of people who just wanted to like stop in and say, you know,
yo, let's just do a mailbag week, man. Let's just keep doing this.
Well, we're out of questions now. We're like,
oh, are we? Oh, okay, gotcha.
What I thought were questions was a whole bunch of people just like stopping by and saying, you know, thank you guys for everything, and
that's cool as hell. Thank you guys.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's been one of the most gratifying aspects of all of this. We do have some news that at least I can touch on. One was that Phil Handy went on, what's the guy's name? I think it was Jason Dumas.
Dumas.
And said that he's waiting for Frank Vogel to tell him what he needs to do next. And this is amid a bunch of rumors about him being tied to the Brooklyn Nets. And was there another team? I think that was the only team. But he was tied to the Brooklyn Nets by way of his relationship with Kyrie Irving. So here's what he said on the show. Quote, "I'm a Los Angeles Laker. What's next for me is to wait for Frank Vogel to pick up the phone and text or call me and give me what my next directives are. I'm just going to sit back and try to enjoy this championship we earned and, you know, decompress a bit. We work so hard that people think we never take time off. And I myself have had to learn how to decompress and step away from the game to where I can stay mentally and physically sharp." And I love how he says physically too, because anybody who has seen him coach knows he works his actual ass off. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got gray beard. He probably has 20 years on me, and he's in better shape than I have ever been in.
Oh yeah, he's a stud.
Finishes off, I'm going to enjoy the time with my friends and family, and I'll be ready for whatever directives Coach Vogel has for me next as we prepare for this next upcoming season. Without getting into his options, obviously you and I both would like him to remain a Laker, but you've gone over, you know, film from the reactions after they won the championship, obviously studying, you know, some of what he was trying to teach some guys over the course of this season. I don't think it's possible to overstate how valuable he was to this coaching staff.
Yeah, that's been one thing that's been really fun about having that footage is I see locker room stuff, and I see in the tunnels and timeouts and before the game when people are talking to each other. I feel kind of stalkery sometimes, right? Like, it's like watching two people have a conversation from
it's
my
like
video.
Yeah, it's
a
little in the morning.
Yeah,
it's other a, people I'm are a looking bit of a at creeper. Their ex girlfriends and pizza.
Oh boy. Oh, I need to address this. I'm just coming to a realization right now. There's something about me as a person. Well, let's shelve the creepiness of this for a moment. And the way that people... we need a...
Seeing the comprehension across your forehead.
Oh, did you watch me realize?
Like, I could actually kinda see, like, the my god.
And right before that, I'm like, he's a stud. Yeah. And right before I said that. Wow.
Oh man. Yeah, you're not fully into video, but at some point I'm gonna clip that video and send it to you because you could actually see on your face there was a thought bubble above your head. Oh my god,
I'm kind of creepy.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if we could do the rest of the show.
His name's also Handy. Which is just cherry on the cake.
Wow.
I'm gonna try to refocus here.
Yeah.
So what he's done, so have you noticed it more on guys like Anthony Davis, or have you noticed, you know, the improvement on guys like Caruso, Kuzma? Is it individual stuff? Is it collective stuff? Like,
it's all of the above. Like, yeah. Phil Handy is one of the game's wise men. That's something that the way the deference and respect that a guy like Rondo has for him, or just anybody that talks to Phil Handy, he's somebody he's got a presence about him where he's got the kind of confidence that comes from working hard and knowing what you do well. I should write his, if he's got any online dating profiles, I should obviously write the Phil Handy online dating profile. He's just like, he's that dude, man. Everybody respects him. Everybody admires him. And it comes from, like, he puts in the work too. And he's got the expertise. This is a guy that's been, he's been to six straight finals with three different franchises. If it was any other assistant coach, I am blown away how this guy is not a head coach somewhere. You know what I mean?
Like, is that what he wants? Like, that's the only explanation.
I don't know.
I can think of. It's like, well, this guy that just wants
that, and he's a black developmental coach. Like, yeah. He's.
I mean, no, right? there are definitely reasons why. Like, there are so this highlights a lot of what we do wrong in coaching, right? Like the we're having this conversation as the Toronto Raptors assistant coach Bjorkgren, I think his name is, got hired by the Indiana Pacers. Doesn't have a fraction of the success that Phil Handy has, you know. That's where the only explanation that makes any sense whatsoever that would be an explanation would be Handy not just like wanting to be stand on his corner. But
I mean, in a perfect world,
even there though, that's
come on. That's, you don't think Handy's ever wondered like
to the process.
You don't think he's ever wondered like, I wonder what it would be like to be a head coach of a team.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like the idea that he doesn't have like those type of aspirations, and maybe he doesn't. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't asked the man. It just seems like that is pushing to the side kind of this darker reality of this world. Right?
Saying, so like I'm trying to find the only explanation. Right. The actual explanation is this other shit.
Right. That's the thing, is that the trying to find a different explanation, I think, is part of like we need to stop doing that. Right. We need to start being like, what's the probable, like give that more shine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So as a black coach and as a developmental coach, right. If he were a white assistant coach, he would have been the hottest head coaching prospect. His combination of knowledge about the game and his ability to communicate it, his ability to hold people accountable. These were all, and this is all from afar. Like, I'm not traveling with the team. I'm just having apparently my creeper moments watching a video and it's how people, you know, they're in the pregame warmups and this is how they're interacting. But I can't say with a lot of confidence that Phil Handy is that dude. And everybody on that team, on that roster, like viewed him that way. And so, but as a developmental coach, you're not seen as an assistant coach, right? You're like a trainer. You're less than coach on the food chain. Yeah, you're less than on the food chain. You're not the X's and O's mastermind, right?
That yeah.
You want as the, and so it's these, it, like those things matter. It's just of, and I don't know Phil Handy's acumen from an X's and O's standpoint, but I can tell you that some very high level NBA thinkers, of which we had a lot of them on this roster, really respected and respect Phil Handy. And that says a lot about him.
A couple things that are really worth noting here is, for one thing, to be an individual coach, right? That means you understand how to interact with the individual. You know how to teach the individual. And everybody has their own shooting coach. They have their own, you know, individual coach as well. So the fact that this dude who has now been employed, like you said, by three different franchises, have been able to get through to all kinds of players, regardless of background, and develop that kind of hugely respected relationship with all those guys. That's one thing that is probably the most important aspect of being a head coach in the NBA, is being a people person. You can hire an X's and O's person. You can hire a
defensive
strategist.
The X's and O's are a sliver of it. They're just part of it.
Right.
And like we make it out to be a bigger thing than it is. And I don't think we really describe what X's and O's are particularly well, right? Like what falls under those boundaries. But even at their best, they are the way we talk about X's and O's and how important they are versus how important they actually are. There's a chasm between there. And a lot of it, I don't know, man, a lot of it goes to the societal things and the reasons why we value the mastermind, right? As opposed to the players. Like, these guys are geniuses that are going out there and making these quick micro decisions. There's just like, there's not enough respect for their cerebral understanding of the game.
The other thing that I would say too is, in order to be as good at his job, being an individual coach and understanding who needs what work and who needs to, you know, identifying what would help X, Y, and Z player get their game to the next step or whatever, whether and understanding how to interact with somebody like Anthony Davis, who was gifted beyond Kyle Kuzma's widest dreams, you know, wildest dreams, like the idea that that person, like Phil Handy, has to be incredibly organized, incredibly detail oriented. He has to be like, there's so much of when you actually kind of like try to identify what's important in coaching. His experience is the kind of experience that they like, if they aren't, you know, if they aren't prioritizing it, it's what they should be. Like, if you aren't identifying him as as that type of coach, you should
he's be, a leader
and you should
he's a leader
be,
man.
Yeah, you should be rethinking what you care about for that kind of position. So yeah, I hope one day he gets an attempt at it. He's so good at what he does that it's wild to me that he hasn't, let alone, by the way, you know, a head coaching job, but like any kind of promotion to higher up sitting on the bench and you know, the being assigned, hey, you're in charge of the offense and stuff like that. Just seeing what he's actually capable of, it's wild to me, understanding what value he brings and the concern over losing that to any degree by promoting him to something he might not be as good at. But it's insane to me that he's been this good at this job where it has this kind of experience, and he's still, if he would have gone to Brooklyn, it would have been as an individual coach again.
Probably. Bummer. Yeah. And I just think there's so many aspects of his profile that if you take a closer look, you're like, why isn't this dude? But so how often does a black coach get hired who wasn't a former player in the NBA? It happens, yeah, but it's very rare, man.
JB Bickerstaff, he's
right. His dad is Bernie Bickerstaff. So that's right. He's not like,
same goes for Silas too, right? Like,
Silas was Paul Silas's kid.
Yeah.
Paul Silas Jr. Right.
Mm-hmm. Is it Paul Silas Jr.?
I think so. I don't remember, but yes, yeah, that's Paul Silas's son. Yeah.
But basically you need to
Stephen
come from
Silas.
That kind of,
Stephen Silas.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to come from that kind of stock to get a look. Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas like we're still waiting for the black Eric Spoelstra or the black Frank Vogel. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. How often, those guys don't get opportunities.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is like Phil Handy has been to 6 consecutive NBA finals. Mm-hmm. 3 different franchises, 3 titles, including back-to-back. If I strongly believe this, if any white coach had that resume, he would be considered the hottest head coaching prospect in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And between the factors we already talked about, when black coaches get hired, again, they're almost always former players, mm-hmm, but they're also,
and they're seen as player coaches, and
right,
Ty Lue,
right,
they're not Lue is trying to break away from that label even still. Mm-hmm.
That's right. They're not the X's and O's genius. They're players, right? They know how to get, and it's all this like kind of coded language, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Phil Handy isn't 35 years old, right? And so how often does an older black coach get hired unless he's been in this kind of food chain the whole time? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I don't know, just the you know, the laughing aside and the joviality of earlier, I think there's something very just important to look at with Phil Handy and just kind of how Phil Handy is representative of a lot of black coaches, a lot of trainers, a lot of people in the basketball world whose skills and ability and knowledge are greater than their current roles, but they are not always afforded the opportunities to move up the basketball food chain.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's hoping that changes. I hope, like I said, I hope Handy gets not just a coaching job, but just something, you know, that this is a problem that we have in the NFL, right? Where quarterback's coach gets, you know, the next station that they stop at is offensive coordinator. And then the offensive coordinator becomes a head coach, right? Mm-hmm. And the problem that the NFL has seen has been, well, black coordinators, right? Cornerbacks coach, you know, DBs coach, linebacker coach, and then those guys will jump up to defensive coordinator. but the offensive coordinator usually gets the attention from teams as head coach candidates. And then, mm-hmm. you know, even worse, you have a situation in like you have in Kansas City where Eric Bieniemy has put together one of the most revolutionary offenses that mm-hmm. the NFL has ever seen. And he's still waiting for his opportunity mm-hmm. to be hired as now a Super Bowl winning offensive coordinator.
If anyone else had Eric Bieniemy's resume, right. mm-hmm. if a white coach had that, he would be the hottest coaching prospect on the market.
Right. Right. And this shit, I agree with you. And just to be clear to you and to everybody listening, I'm trying to find the only somewhat logical explanation to this. I don't believe that that's actually the explanation. So we'll see.
I think it's very logical that we live in a society that makes life harder on Black people. I think that is like we need to address that as the logical explanation that this is a problem that we need to address. It all ties together, man.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Shouts to all of you guys, not just for the questions, which keep them coming. The mailbag is now empty, so we got to get that all set up for the episode I'm recording on Sunday. And then also, you know, I've been blown away by the amount of joy that you guys have brought to the iTunes mailbag.
It's been really cool. Thank you for that. To
go back and read that stuff. It's been really awesome. And I hope that you have that same amount of joy coming in from your friends and family who also got to celebrate this Lakers championship as well. We will be back, or I will be back for tomorrow's episode with a guest, and we'll start looking ahead to potential signings and moves and stuff like that. It's kind of difficult to do that with Pete because I'm not trying to get him fired or tampering charges or anything like that. If you get a tampering fine, does it come out of your pocket? It has to, right?
Or
does
it come out? I'm in trouble if that happens. You got a couch I can sleep on in Austin?
Well, we do, but you have your no red state.
Yeah.
So I had my
socialist cap on this episode today for sure.
Yeah, you'll have to bunk up with Harrison and Mia. Like that's where you wind up. Anywho, please stay safe out there, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Meet somebody else's. Talk to you tomorrow.